And our very next guest, we've got Michael Warschauer on the hotline, our Hollywood guru, ready to dive into the Oscars, kind of putting a cap on the award season. Michael, a pleasure as always to have you on with us. Let's begin with your three major takeaways from what you saw at the Oscars last night.
Well, first of all, I thought it was a pretty good show. It was very entertaining. There were a few confusing moments, like Eminem performing a song that won an Oscar about 17 years ago. That was a little surprising, but still a pretty great show overall. Obviously, Parasite is the big winner of the night, taking home four Oscars for the big one, Best Picture, Best Director, Best Original Screenplay, and the newly rechristened Best International Film. A really big night. I think that it was kind of a little bit of an upset in the Best Picture category over 1917. Not a huge shock, but still definitely the underdog there. So really a huge night for that. Other than that, a lot of the kind of expected favorites won. All four of the acting categories followed the way that they have been throughout award season, with Joaquin Phoenix and Renee Zellweger taking home the Best Actor and Actress category, and Brad Pitt coming in for Best Supporting Actor, and Laura Dern for Best Supporting Actress. So not a lot of surprises there. I do think it's notable that The Irishman walked away without a single award. It was sort of the preseason favorite going into the award season. And 1917 coming up for the most part empty-handed was also pretty big. But other than that, it was a fairly predictable evening, I would say, and overall a pretty good Oscar ceremony this year.
Parasite came out the big winner last night. Now, that's a movie that many haven't seen or aren't necessarily really as familiar with. So in your mind, what exactly made this movie so good and got it so many awards last night?
Well, it's kind of one of the most unique movies that I've ever seen. It's one that I've now seen multiple times because I was just so hooked on it and just keep finding new things each time I've watched it. I think the biggest thing is that it's really not the movie that you expect it to be, even as you're watching it. Ostensibly, like I like to tell people, you can go in knowing as little as possible, but know that it's about a poor family that is basically infiltrating the house of a wealthy family. But it kind of takes a turn and has this one sort of major turning point in the movie that turns it into something else. And it's just, like I said, it's unlike anything else that I've ever seen. It really, like, pulls you in. It's brilliantly acted, brilliantly filmed. Visually, it's just really stunning. It has a lot of humor to it. It's just one of those movies that once you kind of get into it, it's really hard to stop thinking about it. I also think it really taps into, a worldwide cultural moment as well. It has a lot to say about wealth inequality and how the wealthy, the mega wealthy, interact with lower classes, that I think it does in a way that a lot of films have not accomplished in the last several years. But overall, it's just a really fun and fantastic movie. I know it's available now on most streaming platforms to rent, so if you haven't seen it, it's definitely one to watch. Don't let the subtitles scare you away. It really is a fantastic film.
Where would you say that ranks with some of the big winners from the Oscars in the past, Shape of Water, things like that? And I think it was kind of in a similar mold in that not as many people knew much about it other than the fact that it was up for some awards. But where do you think it ranks amongst some of the other Oscar winners in recent history?
I think it definitely comes ahead of the last couple of Best Picture winners. You mentioned The Shape of Water. I think it stands out significantly better, I think, than Green Book, which won last year. It just is sort of I don't know. It's really kind of in a class of its own. I think that it's a movie that certainly will be taught for a long time, but will be kind of looked back as one of those Oscar winners that maybe was a surprise the night of, but it kind of stays in the minds of moviegoers and historians and what have you for a long time. So I think it certainly, as far as the last several years are concerned, ranks very high amongst other Best Picture winners.
Okay, you've mentioned a few of these earlier, but I want to bring them back up again. I want to get into the snubs, and I think last night, you know, you certainly had a lot of, whether it be directors or maybe it be picture or actors, actresses. You mentioned the Best Actor, Best Actress, but that was kind of predictable, but were there any particular snubs in your mind last night?
I don't know if there were necessarily snubs. I think there were a few upsets, though. I think the biggest one, and again, I think it's kind of subjective as to whether or not you call it a snub or not, was Jojo Rabbit winning Best Adapted Screenplay. I think a lot of people expected Little Women to kind of be the front runner there. It's a particularly fantastic adaptation, but Jojo Rabbit did pick up a lot of steam in the last several weeks in award shows, so it wasn't a total shock, but still kind of a surprise that it overtook the original kind of favorite there. I think most of the snubs, though, happened, like we've talked about before, the ceremony, the lack of female directing nominees, obviously the lack of acting nominees from Parasite. It was only the second film to win Best Picture without having a single actor nominated in the acting categories after Slumdog Millionaire. So I think there were some surprises there, but overall, I thought that awards kind of shook out the way that we've seen them. I think it was a little surprising that 1917 lost all the steam that it had going into the night, but I think a lot of that was just that Parasite picked up momentum at the right time of the award season. So not really a ton of snubs per se, but certainly a few surprises.
We're speaking with Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood guru here on Bullseye on the Afternoon, recapping the Oscars last night. There were some pretty interesting parts of the show itself and two of the finer comedy acts, and I can't believe I forgot about the third one in here, which involved my guy, Will Ferrell, who has a new movie coming out here before the end of the month. But what do you think was the better comedy act, Rebel Wilson and James Corden as cats, or Kristen Wiig and Maya Rudolph pranking the audience?
I really enjoyed Kristen Wiig and Maya Rudolph. It was kind of a classic SNL bit from them. They came out that they're saying, oh, we're so angry. We don't want to talk about it. And then turning around and saying, just kidding, we're not angry. It was acting. I thought that was just hysterical. The two of them have such a good comedic rapport together that it just, it was great. I really enjoyed the cats bit as well. I thought it was really funny. I know there are a lot of people that were a little bit turned off by the fact that James Corden and Rebel Wilson, who were in the movie Cats, were up there slamming it. They thought it was in kind of bad taste, but I thought it was pretty funny and a pretty smart move. But like you said, I thought Will Ferrell and Julia Louis-Dreyfus were actually my favorite two presenters of the night, presenting Best Cinematography and pretending to know everything about cinematography, and then describing, the cinematographer is who comes to get you in your trailer and drives you to set in the golf cart. I thought, they were funny. They're obviously two really wonderful comedians who sold that bit perfectly. So, I really enjoyed all three of them, but I'd actually pick Will Ferrell and JLD for the best presenting duo there.
And I'll tell you what, I've got to see that movie. I believe it comes out end of the month, beginning of next. There's some really good ones coming out, which we'll talk about at a different time. But that, I'm a big Lebowski fan, so Jesus Rolls, the spinoff, comes out later this month. Seems like there are a lot of reasons for me to get out to the box office before we get to the end of February, but we'll save that for a different time. Now, the show itself, I thought, went along pretty well. The pacing of it was all very good. It didn't feel like any acceptance speech was too long. You weren't sitting there waiting for somebody to raise the clap sign or start to play the music. I thought the pacing was great. And it seems like going without a host has worked extraordinarily well the last couple of years. Is there any reason to think that that won't continue?
I don't think so. I thought, for the most part, the show was really seamless without a presenter. Without a host. I think the biggest kind of thing that they would need to fix for next year is that there were several instances where you'd have the announcer introduce a young actress like Beanie Feldstein, or there were a couple, I think George Mackay from 1917, Kelly Tran did this as well, where they introduced these young stars and then they introduced someone else as a presenter. And it was kind of unnecessary. They could have saved, you know, it's only a few minutes, but that makes a big difference when it turns 11 o'clock on the East Coast. So I think there were a couple of awkward things there, but overall, I thought the show flowed really well. It helps to just sort of lean on your presenters and let, you know, some other celebrities like Janelle Monáe do the intro, and then Steve Martin and Chris Rock doing an opening monologue. Like, that worked really, really well without having to rely on one person. I do think it is noteworthy, though, that this was actually the least watched Oscars everywhere of all time. Last year saw the ratings go up a little bit after several years of free fall, but they dropped a significant amount this year. And there's a couple factors there. Part of it is that this year's crop of Best Picture nominees weren't necessarily as financially successful, big blockbusters as they were last year with Bohemian Rhapsody, A Star is Born, Green Book, some really big box office hits that were nominated. It also, though, of course, has to do with less and less people watching linear TV. It's easy to kind of follow along on Twitter and see who's winning and watch all the highlights and that kind of thing, so you don't necessarily have to be right in front of the TV, so that plays into it. But the biggest takeaway for ABC is that they still were able to sell their ads for a ton of money. They're going to make in profit about $100 million off of the Oscar broadcast. So I can't see them giving up some of that profit share to pay a host next year when they can kind of continue with a formula that people seem to enjoy. So I don't know if it's still going to work for other award shows. As we saw with the Emmys, it was a little choppy. But the Oscars, I would be surprised if we see them return to the host format anytime soon.
All right, transitioning out of the Oscars, Michael, now talking about movies that are currently on the big screen. Birds of Prey led the way at the box office, but they fell way short of their opening weekend expectations. Any particular reason for that?
I think it was a big surprise. The movie got pretty solid critical reviews. It did well on Rotten Tomatoes, and audiences responded really well. It had a high cinema score, high audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. So kind of a surprise. I think one of the big factors is that it was rated R. A huge chunk of the audience, of I think about 65%, were 25 and older. So it really was for some younger audiences. And in Suicide Squad, where the Harley Quinn character first appeared on screen, was PG-13. So I think that it might lose a chunk of its audience from that. However, it did really well internationally, and like I said, really good word of mouth. So I suspect that it will kind of stick around towards the top of the box office for the next few weeks, as maybe people who were trying to get their last Oscar movies in before the ceremony go to see it or that kind of thing. But certainly a surprise, but one that I think is still going to have a little bit of momentum and some legs left to it.
All right, before we get to this week's Picks to Click, every now and again I'll see a movie or I'll see a show that I hadn't stumbled on before and thought, man, where did that come from? So I saw this movie over the weekend, and it had some pretty good star power to it, too. It was Alec Baldwin, and it wasn't Penelope Cruz. Who am I missing in there?
Selma Hayek.
Selma Hayek, that's who it was. It was Selma Hayek, and then Will Ferrell had a cameo in it. So did Colin Quinn. Jim Gaffigan was in it as well. I thought, man, that's a lot of star power for a movie I had never heard of. I thought the movie was hilarious. It's called Drunk Parents. So where exactly did this come from? Was this some sort of limited release?
So it came from a guy named Fred Wolf, who is best known for doing the Grown Ups franchise. He wrote those movies. He used to write on SNL. He wrote the movie Black Sheep and a whole bunch of other comedies. So he has kind of a comedy pedigree, which is where all these people come from. But it was kind of one of those movies that just kind of got caught in development and distribution purgatory. It was actually announced way back in the end of 2015 and was filmed in early 2016. And so it kind of had a long road to the screen. After a while, the distributor had shelved it and then sold it to DirecTV Cinema, who released it on their platform kind of quietly in limited release last year. And then it hit streaming platforms somewhat recently. So it was just one of those movies, I think, that got caught in the system for whatever reason and took a long time to come out. But Obviously has a pretty great cast, like you mentioned. It also has Ben Platt and Joe Manganiello. So a lot of great people. Jim Gaffigan, I think I saw, was in it. So, yeah, I will take your recommendation and check it out myself. But certainly one of those just kind of unlucky movies that flew under the radar.
See, now I don't feel so bad. So you haven't seen it yet, and you just talked about the long path that took, A, to create, and then B, to really kind of get out there and spread. I couldn't believe I'd never seen that before with a cast like that. The movie was hilarious. I thought the story was kind of goofy, but, you know, you have to expect that going in. It was very, very funny, though. The cameo with Will Ferrell and Colin Quinn I thought was terrific as well, so I recommend it for a good laugh, if nothing else. All right, Michael. Picks to click for this week. What should we be watching this week?
A couple good things to stream this weekend. First of all, for all you Narcos fans, season 2 of Narcos Mexico returns to Netflix on Thursday. But the release I'm more excited for is Hulu's adaptation of High Fidelity, coming out on Friday, the whole first season. It stars Zoe Kravitz, whose mom, Lisa Bonet, was famously in the 2000 film with John Cusack. And it's a gender-flipped story of High Fidelity, where the main character, Rob, goes through her past to figure out where all of her relationships went wrong, just like in the classic book and film. So that's one that's already getting some positive press, and I will be tuning into this weekend.
Great, great stuff. Michael, as always, we appreciate the insight, appreciate the conversation. Thank you so much for stopping by. We'll do this again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Michael. Again, that's Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.